Well, apparently, now listen to this. He didn't really want to make it. He was kind of like, I'm good with two. Like, these, it was supposed to be two. And then The Dark Knight made so much money that they were
Yeah,
like, you have to do this. Like,
they
there's,
just
you have
backed
to
up
do
the
it.
Brinks truck and said,
Yeah.
"You're gonna make another one, right?"
And he's like, I guess.
I mean, why do you think I keep doing this show after all these years?
It's just too lucrative.
Just
Wait a
can't. We just
minute.
can't, you know,
Where's
can't turn
my
down the
cut?
money.
Wait a second.
And maybe if you checked your mail once in a while.
Oh, shit.
Your Tishy hosts have been all over the place, both mentally and physically, these past few weeks. Did I dance to the Hey Dude theme in Tucson? Did we all get raptured during the eclipse? We'll let you know because it's another edition of the Tishy Small Talk Spectacular. In the Middle Aged Mama Studios in Austin, Texas, I'm Hillary Livingston Butler, and this show has everything. While I could probably monologue during this whole show, I do not want to. Joining me in the Stick of Butter Studios in New Brighton, Minnesota, it's Anne Lundholm. Hi, Anne.
Hello. I have not been raptured, but let's be real. Nobody expected that I would be.
No. They're like, we need you down on Earth. You're like that show. What is it called? The Leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we need you down here. You got to keep things in order, Anne. In the Salad Dressing Studios in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, it's Bobby Pape. Hi, Bobby.
Wouldn't it be weird if you didn't dance to the Hey Dude theme in Tucson and you just pulled that completely out of your ass?
Hey, maybe I did. You don't know. As usual, we'll get into the mailbag. No small talk because it's all small talk. Some oops, all small talk. Some Tishy recommends and how you can get involved with the show. Bobby, you want to go into the mailbag?
Sure. Yeah, we're jumping right ahead. I think we had an all-timer question for this week's, or rather last week's question of the week. We asked you, what was your favorite snack? No emails on that one. I guess it wasn't hard hitting enough. That's right. We got a few answers on Facebook in the Facebook group at The Show Has Everything, starting with Gregory, who writes, few snack foods bring me as much joy as a rocks glass half full of mixed nuts after a hard day's work. And then he writes that he puffs a cigar rod like a cigar, or excuse me, a pretzel rod.
I was
like
going to say
cigar rod. Half a rocks glass of mixed nuts, not the movie, but actual mixed nuts. Ellen writes cheese stick and a pickle.
That's so specific, but I like it. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever thought to combine those. Ellen, dill, sweet, probably dill, right? That's probably
I would
dill
assume dill.
Yeah. Amanda writes the pub that I knit at on Sundays has truffle parmesan popcorn, and it is my favorite. With movie popcorn, a close second.
Movie popcorn's so good.
I just,
you guys, I don't know. I don't get truffle flavored stuff. I don't understand it. It's not bad. Like, I like mushrooms. It's just I don't understand why it's a BFD.
I feel like it's
truffle.
I feel like it's a marketing tactic. I mean, listen, I would eat it, but yeah, I don't know if I would order it up because y'all know my favorite thing to do is stuff my face full of popcorn and then drink Diet Coke.
Drink a Diet Coke.
Help make it disintegrate. So I feel like paying for the truffle is like, I don't even honestly need like butter on it because I just need to stuff it on. I need light butter, but it's really going to have a Diet Coke coating on it.
It just needs to be lightly greased so they can eat
yes.
more of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I could take or leave the truffle thing. I feel like, is it Chopped or one of those many competition shows where like the rookie mistake that everybody makes is using too much truffle oil?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, they probably don't get truffle oil at home all the time. So they have it thanks to the Guy Fieri kingdom or whatever. And so they just, you know, go wild with it. And then it's like overwhelmingly.
Yeah. Then it just tastes fungal.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're not looking for fungal popcorn. popcorn continues to be a theme actually here. Anne writes, and this is, I assume, Anne Minor because We only have first names in this list, but that's our other Anne. I don't want to say other Anne. That's rude. Anne 2. No, that's rude as well.
She's older than me. She's Anne 1.
Anne 1. I don't want to call you Anne 2. Anyway, Anne writes,
well,
popcorn, comma, specifically for dinner.
I mean, I can get behind that.
I can see that.
Yep.
Jen writes, Mike sells potato chips, which sounds like a tongue twister of some kind. Mike sells potato chips by the potato shore. No, Mike sells potato chips with French onion dip. I can eat a modest serving for 6 people. Thank you for doing the sound that laughing emoji. I've never heard of Mike sells potato chips, but I just looked up very quickly that they are a Dayton-based potato chip company.
And it's Jean. I mistyped it. Sorry, Jean.
Oh my God.
I'm so used to typing Jen for my sister, but yes, it's Jean.
Well, yeah. What is your sister's snack? Where's her answer?
I don't know. Come on, get after it, Jennifer Livingston Street.
Jen, you've disappointed us, but Jean, A plus for answering. Now I want to try Mike Sells because I've never had Mike Sells. And I notice here in the little snippet that Google has decided to give me, the oldest continuously operating potato chip company in the United States.
Oh, wow.
And since this is a Small Talk Spectacular, I'll take a moment to go off a quick tangent here. I think a while back on the show, I mentioned when I was living in Albany, I went to like a mixer for professionals, some douchey bar rooftop deck thing. And this guy who is the Saratoga self-appointed potato chip historian, like cornered me and was being super creepy to me. And then was also super creepy to all like the young ladies. And I both wanted to get away from him and also wanted to run some interference for these young women because he was being really weird. And I just remember walking away from that experience being like, wow, that guy, the Toga Chip guy or something, which I think is his website and name. Of course, potato chips were allegedly invented in Saratoga Springs. The story being that a chef got mad that a guy kept sending back his fried potatoes saying he wanted them crispier. And the chef was like, I'll show you, and cut them super thin and fried them.
And sent them out. That sounds apocryphal.
Yeah, and exactly. Then everybody loved them. And that, exactly, whatever. But I was flipping channels on our free Roku channels because we're cheap. The other night, and I landed on like this History Channel documentary series on like the history of fast food in America and snacks in America, and got to potato chips, and this annoying guy was one of the talking heads, and I think it's his biggest claim to fame. He's wearing a blue, we were just talking about before we started rolling, the kind of products you buy with your logo on them.
Yes.
He was wearing the denim shirt that's not like blue jean denim, but like with the logo embroidered on, and the logo is a caricature of his own head.
Oh my God. Sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah, this is a really unsettling thing when you're high in the middle of the night watching TV in bed with the lights off, and this creepy guy you remember meeting once at an event is suddenly on your TV living up to expectations. Anyway, Mike sells potato chips. Sound great. I will absolutely seek them out, Gene. If you're serving for 6 people, we can I could join you for that. And then Christy writes popcorn emoji.
So, I mean, what could that mean? I don't know. What does it mean? God, I do love popcorn.
Popcorn's great. We just bought, Sam doesn't give a shit. I just bought some white corn, like Redenbacher's, like the tub of kernels and some of the butter flavored oil you're supposed to cook it in, because I have this little glass round bowl with a little plastic topper that you pop microwave popcorn in, or rather you pop popcorn in the microwave in. And I use it all the time, but the shake-on seasoning doesn't stick. And I don't want to melt a ton of real butter and put it on there because I will just eat it all. So I've been playing with different popcorn kernels in this little popper thing. And I think I'm gonna graduate to making it on the stove.
Wow. Listen, I can't commit. I'm microwave or bust. I mean, I'm like, plop it in there.
Do you have a brand or a flavor or a...
H-E-B brand, because it's cheaper. Listen, I'm telling you, the Diet Coke is the primary like flavor complex.
You can't overspend when you're buying 7 cents worth of corn kernels.
What I want to know is, do either of you ever buy the pre-popped bagged corn?
Like Smart Pop or whatever?
Not necessarily, but like in the chip aisle. You know, the chips, they'll have a big.
Yeah.
Is it like when it's usually just like a clear bag with a little bit of writing on it and it's super yellow.
I keep thinking of the brand here is Old Dutch. So they'll have Old Dutch pre-popped popcorn in like big bags.
I feel like that's like.
And I'm like, does anybody get those?
We used to, like my parents used to, somebody would give them, you know, like a tub, of, like a tin of popcorn for Christmas. And it was awesome.
That's the gourmet stuff, though.
But that was it. I mean, back in the day. When this was health food, and I'm using quotations because this is obviously a visual medium, I loved smart food. Oh, I loved smart food so much. Along with Cheetos, it would just leave a layer of whatever cheese is on it. And I was like, rah, 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 rah. Oh, I loved it so much. And I think I thought it was really, it was a good alternative to chips. I don't really think it is a healthy alternative.
We told ourselves a lot of things back in those days.
Yes, we did. It's called smart food. How could it be bad for you?
It's right in the name.
And I like those. I just found when you get the bags at like carnivals and stuff or like street fairs where it's clear and it has like a measuring stick on it to show you how tall the bag of popcorn you purchased is.
Sure. Yes. I know those ones you're talking about.
And your fingers just, you can't wash off the feeling of that hydrogenated oil that they've
only
got.
Only a shower will do. I do love popcorn. I need to go to the movies. I feel like there hasn't been a movie out lately that I've really wanted to see either by myself or with the kids, but I need some popcorn in my life.
Not Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
3, I think, will come out at some point. I did ask the kids, I'm like, do you want to see Kung Fu Panda 3 or whatever, 4? And they were like, no. You know, Rory's moved on to Chinatown, so he's kind of over those childish games.
Forget it, Rory. It's Chinatown?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it every time it comes up. I just can't help it.
As this is small talk, I did watch Chinatown with my 9-year-old. I had never seen it before. And my mom said, you know, I don't know if he should be watching that. And I was like, it's fine. I mean, whatever. It's a 7. What is it about? And then I realized, well, one, there's some boob, but like it's kind of semi-incidental boob. Like there's just a little bit. It's fine. But there is a plot point in this that I was like, oops.
I mean, I think you can spoil Chinatown at this point. Was Chinatown about 1974 or something?
Yes, it is. 90. Rory will tell you because he asked my dad how old he was when Chinatown came out, and then he decided to do the math in his head.
So I think what you're saying is, she's my daughter, she's my sister, she's my daughter, my sister, my daughter. My sister.
Meanwhile,
he's slapping her
the whole time, and then it turns out that her dad, played by John Huston, raped her, and she has, you know, her daughter and her sister. And my dad was like, did he know what that meant? I was like, yeah, he's 9, like he could figure out what that meant. And that was kind
he's
of
9 a, not 3.
No, he can. That's kind of a, he just looked at me and goes, ew. And I was like, I know. But then I kind of had to distract him because that character, the kind of big bad in it, is played by John Huston. And I was like, well, you know, he directed like The Maltese Falcon, you know, and he was like, oh, that's a noir. And I'm like, how do you know about this stuff? I don't understand. But I think that's what we're moving on to next is some John Huston movies. Though I don't know. I mean, we'll see how. I kind of have to threaten him when we're watching movies. I'm like, do not ask questions. Just keep watching. Just keep watching. Just keep watching. Because we watched Back to the Future, which he loved. But that was one where he was like, can I ask a question? I'm like, no, just keep watching the movie. Write your question down or something, and I'll answer it afterwards.
But remember, it's less of a question, more of a comment.
Oh, always. Always with him. His little brain is... He and Dave watched something last night. I don't know what it was. It was some, like, again, completely inappropriate for a 9-year-old, but it was, like, some documentary about... I can't even remember. But it was really detailed, and Dave's telling me all the details about this, and he was like, the question that Rory had at the end of it was... what's an autopsy? And he was like, that's the most Rory question. I don't care about the details of whatever crime happened. I just want to know what an autopsy is. And he was like, well, anyway, fun times in parenthood. But moving on to the actual, I don't know, loosely teachy small talk spectacular. Well, number one.
I have an interjection first, which is because I wasn't on to share my favorite snack.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. This is important.
I don't know if I have a real answer. I like.
Really?
How could you choose?
Right. That's the thing. It's like picking my favorite child or my favorite cat.
What kind of Sophie's choice is this?
Speaking of movies that are a little dark, when let us know when Rory gets to Sophie's choice.
Give it about a year.
So today I ate one of my standby snacks, and this goes back to growing up in an ingredient household again. Shredded cheese melted on tortilla chips in the microwave with salsa.
It's kind of like a little janky nachos.
Works. Yeah,
gets a little warm, a little soggy. Like, but it still works.
I have an oven and I have a toaster oven. Not to brag, I could melt the cheese the right way.
No.
You need efficient, fast.
90 seconds in on the world's shittiest microwave seems to be the right answer.
90 seconds.
The microwave is terrible. We've got to do something about this. I don't remember if I've. So when we moved back to Boston, I went to the Boston Music Aviva storage unit, and when the three roommates that we all shared our office split up the stuff in the office as we were moving out, no one wanted the shitty microwave. I don't remember who bought it. I don't know where it came from. It's small. It takes forever to microwave anything. And I was just like, well, I'll just throw it in the storage unit. And then when we moved back here, I was like, we need a microwave, because the last couple of apartments we've had them built in. I was like, well, there is a microwave in the storage unit. And so I went and got it and brought it in, and we've just been using it. And I can't bring myself to go buy another microwave. Well, we have one. And of course, in my dream worlds, I'm like, oh, Chef Mike, I don't want to live in a house where we use the microwave all the time. Forget it. We got the convection toaster oven on the counter. We don't need this microwave. But of course, we use it every day. And it and it sucks every day.
Yeah. I mean,
and yet it's never quite enough to make you pull the trigger.
Well, right. So dinner tonight, and in fact, now that I think about it, I may have like a cross-cultural fusion issue in my tummy right now, because dinner was Trader Joe's frozen, we call sticky chicken, but I think it's the orange chicken bag. And I do that in the convection toaster oven. And we always serve it the same way, which is with a bag of Trader Joe's frozen rice and a frozen bag of like steam in the bag broccoli.
Yeah.
The broccoli takes like 7.5, 8 minutes. Okay. And then the rice is supposed to go for 3, and I put it in for 3.5, and it was still not hot. Like it was warm-ish and cooked, but not hot.
Yeah. Like lukewarm. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, mushy, lukewarm microwave frozen rice.
No.
I could just, again, I could just make rice. I have a stove. I have an Instant Pot.
You have all the stuff. You're like,
I could just make a pot of rice. Like, the Instant Pot has a button on it that says rice. You put the water in the rice in it. You just press the button, and 20 minutes later, it's just rice. You don't have to think. But no, because I want it in 3 minutes, not 20.
Of course.
Yep.
And dirtying up another thing. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I know I had somebody gave me an air fryer, and I have yet. It's still in the box because I know they're supposed to be great. And like, I know making salmon in there is, and I make a lot of salmon. I know it's supposed to be amazing. It's just like, was it Andrew who doesn't like I don't like to take up
a unitasker.
I just like, I'm kind of allergic to it. So I'm like, just leave it in the garage. At some point, I'll bust it out.
It's supposed to replace all of your appliances, so that doesn't make it a unitasker. That makes it an everything.
Yes, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
like I'm going to use my oven, or I'm going to use
the toaster oven. Convection setting is basically an air fryer, and so I just use that to air fry, which people have been doing forever. But are we reaching the point where we're going to walk into a thrift store and the appliance section is just going to be all air fryers, right?
Or like, you're just going to go, oh, yeah, for sure. That's
10 years ago, it was
happen.
All George Foreman grills.
Oh, God. Yeah, now it's Instant Pots are probably moving in there. I know. I have like a decent sized kitchen. I don't like all the clutter on the countertop. It kind of makes me crazy.
I've watched you clean your kitchen while you were drunk, so it's definitely a priority for you.
I know. I will never. I mean, I don't understand people who can go to bed with like dishes in the sink. That is.
I was almost late to record today because I was loading the dishwasher after dinner before coming in here.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. I mean, actually, the kitchen is dirty right now, but Dave will clean it up when he gets back from volleyball. His, what if he personally had volleyball? It's Bridget's volleyball practice, but.
Hey, when one person is in volleyball, the whole family is in volleyball.
Apparently. I refuse.
I wouldn't mind seeing Dave dominate some young teen girls in volleyball.
He's like, fuck you, and just spikes it at them. All right.
Wait, speaking of youth sports.
Yes.
Again, it's a small talk spectacular. Yes. So I realize I need to wear my occasional hat as the one person still listening to TBTL regularly.
Oh, yeah.
The boys have sponsored a Little League team in Portland.
Oh, my God.
This just started. I forget their real name. They have they're the Blue Eagles or something, but they've just been calling them the TBTL Junior Sluggers.
Oh my gosh.
And they played their first game over the weekend and won 5-0. And so that was big news on Monday's show.
Oh my God.
And I think Luke, they played again yesterday.
Would be the worst sports dad. He's going to be like, you know, the dads are like screaming in the ump's face. And you're like, what? This is 9-year-olds. Like, relax.
Well, I know that the Junior Sluggers seem like they're off to a hot start. And, you know, I instantly messaged them and I was like, you know, this means you have to make all the merch, right? Baseball shirts, foam fingers, and the tens will just eat fall over themselves to buy it.
Yep.
And I was like, you got to do the merch. And then somebody posted in the Stens page, like, where do I get a Junior Sluggers t-shirt?
Uh-huh.
And I screenshot it and I sent it to them. I was like, guys, now you need to do this now.
Did you message that? His name is John. Is that their like kind of new? I think he's probably more receptive to that information.
Well, he told me they're on it. Like, it sounds like they're working on it. So it's just good. Like, no, you're supposed to have the merch ready. And then when you announce that you're sponsoring the team, it's already there. But anyway, sorry, they're learning. They're getting there.
Remember when they went to Australia and didn't see like one listener at all?
Yep.
Sure do.
All the people, there are quite a few tens in Australia who will never have another chance and to meet the two of them. And they were like, I guess if you want to see us, you can come to this hotel bar in Adelaide for 1 hour on Wednesday night. We'll be there. And I was like, you motherfuckers.
I think maybe that's when we were like, we maybe need to be done with this project. This is about closing time.
I think the other news is that Andrew had a beard trimming malfunction and ended up shaving, but he kept his mustache, and it's quite a look.
Oh,
goodness.
Well, God bless him.
He'll never hear this here, so I feel safe saying it, but the visual comp that I made was Ken Bone.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, Andrew.
Anyway, all right, I'll stop filibustering now, or you can go to medium talk.
Okay, well, whatever. Everybody made it through the eclipse. Okay, so let's set the scene. Bobby, you were in the path of totality by traveling a little bit to Rochester, right?
Well, I sort of was, yes. We drove out from Boston to Rochester on Sunday. It's a just under 6 hour drive when you're trying and there's no traffic and you only stop once. So it was easy enough to get out there. And I'll just, you want to run through where we were? Or you want to run through my whole experience?
Yeah, you can run through your whole experience.
Right. So, got out there on Sunday. Previous to that, you know, there was some planning involved here. Hotel rooms in the path of totality were bananas, which I don't think will be news to anyone. It was like $1,000 a night for like some of the shittier hotels in Rochester that I could, you know, find. But I did manage to get a Hilton property on points, and the points had not scaled with the dollar values right away.
Yeah.
So I was able to get it for 40,000 Hilton points. There's still a lot of points, but pretty normal for a Hilton hotel. To stay at the Doubletree with the indoor atrium and pool and the view overlooking the glass. Oh, yeah. It was very 80s
My
chic.
Dream aesthetic, as like a kid. I was like, this rules. This is so glamorous.
Yeah, you just, I went out onto the, you know, our room had a door But then at the other end, it had sliding glass doors that we could unlock and went out to a balcony that overlooked the open atrium and the pool and the restaurant and the gym, which we could see down into.
How very Embassy Suites of you.
Yes.
You know, yeah, not bad for a DoubleTree, right? We even got the cookies. Diamond status with Hilton gets me a $15 food and beverage credit, which got me 5 snacks from the little sundries market.
Hey.
Because I always forget to use those credits. And so I was like, give me whatever I can have. How about a $3 bag of Sun Chips with 4 Sun Chips in it? Yes, sold. All right. So Sunday, we did all that. My family rallied for dinner. I wanted to go to a nice Italian restaurant in my hometown. They were closed on Sunday. So we're trying to coordinate other options. And my family
closed on Sunday.
Yeah. And my family landed on Red Robin.
Yum.
Yum.
You know what it wasn't? Yummy. My burger was really mediocre and made me feel sick after. But anyway, it was nice to see everyone. Sam got the fish and chips, and it was weirdly the best thing on the table.
Hmm.
So there's my life hack for Red Robin. Monday, we went with most of my family. A couple of people didn't go. To the AAA ballpark, the Rochester Red Wings ballpark, to something called Solar Palooza. They had a local party band that's literally been around for 50 years called the Sky Coasters, who play every festival, fireman's carnival, and if you're, you know, willing to pay them and they're available, bat mitzvahs, weddings, etc.
Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what kind of music the Sky Coasters play, too.
Yes, you do.
With a name like the Sky Coasters.
Although they worked in some contemporary hits that was really not great. I forget which song it was where they put on Rasta hats. And I thought, they're so old that this wasn't offensive when they started doing it. And so I guess they're grandfathered in.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Anyway, I bought a t-shirt from the Sky Coasters because that will tell people you're from Rochester without telling them from your Rochester. Just wear your Sky Coasters t-shirt. They had the band, they had the stadium open. We bought on-field passes, so we ended up sitting in the right field warning track. It was dismal, thoroughly low, unattended. Like, there were only a couple thousand people there in this massive stadium, maybe not even. Really bad. Like, we ate some ballpark food, and there was solid cloud cover over Rochester all day. We had light clouds, they got dark, and then they got light again. That was as close as I got to seeing the eclipse, so we drove all the way into the path of totality just to look up at clouds.
You're like, it got dark.
I have a fun picture I spliced together of 3 photos, the before, during, and after, about 10 minutes span. Of light clouds, dark clouds, light clouds. And then we got in the car and drove all the way back to Boston right after from the ballpark. And traffic actually wasn't as bad as I thought. I think because of the clouds, people just weren't out.
Yeah.
So that was it for me.
And what about you?
Not in the path of totality.
There was an eclipse? What?
Like the Rochester area, it was solid clouds all day here. It, like, iron gray dark clouds all day. And at one point I was like, what time is this thing supposed to happen? And it was like, the closest we would get here to any kind of eclipse was 2:02. And I thought, okay, I'll, like, go outside then. And then I looked up for my work and it was like 2:20.
And you're like,
I thought, okay.
I guess
there we go.
And it happened.
I did not even register any kind of changing of the light, so
yeah. But I guess you were, well, you're just like a little bit west of where, not a little bit, a fair amount west of where it was, and plus the clouds. We had been in Tucson. Dave and I had been in Tucson for a wedding, but we came back to Dallas. Dallas and Austin were in the path of totality. And much like you, my mom, I think when I went to Dallas for the fair, like in September or October, my mom said, hey, or maybe before, I can't remember, but she was like, hey, will you look and see, Fredericksburg is a town a little bit west of here that's also in the Path of Totality. She was like, will you look and see like Airbnbs? I'd love to go down there. There's, I think my parents, like, they had gone to Nashville for the one in 2017, and they were like, maybe we'll go down to Kerrville or Fredericksburg or something. And so I looked at some Airbnbs that were semi-reasonable, and it would be like, right now, you know, say an Airbnb is like, I don't know, $200 a night or something. And then that from Thursday the 4th to Monday the 8th or whatever that span is, it was like $1,100 a night. Like, it had just like gone kind of crazy. And I was like, Mom, that we can't do this. We're not. And then she kind of was like, maybe we'll go stay with my cousin has a barn that we can stay at. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not happening. Anyway, we kind of dropped it. And then she realized, you know, Dallas is actually in the path. We'll just stay here. And then it just ended up that Dave and I went to Tucson for this wedding, but the kids didn't go. So we drove up to Dallas on Thursday, flew out Friday, flew back Sunday, and stayed over, we were like, we'll just stay here and watch the eclipse. Like, that's fine. And again, it was sort of cloudy. It was beautiful on Sunday. It was clear blue, you know, this beautiful day. And then on Sunday and then Monday, the clouds rolled in. But it ended up sort of passing. So we went to, my parents live in a gated community, and there's a dog park in the gated community. So we just kind of like went over there because it was, have the least amount of tree cover. And it was actually really cool. It got really, really dark. But the best part about it, besides, like, I don't know, the natural wonder of the world or the universe, is that I had a visitor, Mr. Jeremy Holmes and Elliot came down. They drove because, Jeremy, God love you so much, you're a lunatic, drove from the Seattle area down to Dallas. And I didn't know if he was going to make it over to our, cause they weren't staying at my parents' house. I didn't know if they were going to make it over, but he texted that morning. He was like, I think we're going to come over. So, the union that everybody has wanted to see, Jeremy and Rory, really, like, they really hit it off.
I'm just glad that Jeremy's finally going to learn some 20th century American history from Rory.
I know.
After Rory's all those years of being homeschooled.
I know. He's going to tell him all about The Godfather, Godfather Part II, Paramount Pictures in the 70s. But yeah, we got to watch it with them, and it was really fun. I mean, it's so much buildup, and I felt like, you know, my parents watch a lot, like, the news is on a lot in my parents' house, and it was just, like, such a big deal that I was, like, almost, like, okay, like, I kind of wanted it to be done, because when things are ramped up so much, I'm a little bit like, okay, like, let's just get through this. And but it was actually really cool. I mean, it got really dark, and because my parents live in this community, all the lights turned on, like all of the sidewalk lights,
sure,
automatically turned on. So it was kind of cool to see all that happen. I mean, it was really cool. You know, we weren't in some like huge place where there were tons of people. I had a friend that went to Presque Isle, Maine. She lives in Portland, Maine, but she went up to Presque Isle, which is like it's super far north in Maine, like, you know, Canadian border adjacent. Well,
you had to, because the Path of Totality was way up in the part of Maine where no one lives.
Yeah, well, her husband's from Presque Isle, so they were like, or they're around, you know, thereabouts, like way, way, way up there. And she was like, it was so cool there because there was just like, you know, I guess it was clear, and it was just, there's not as much light around, you know, there's not as many lights
light
around.
Pollution.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, she said it was really cool, and we had a good time. And then we hopped in the car so quickly because when we got back from Tucson and we were in Dallas, I was like, I love my parents, but I wanted to be back in my own bed so badly. And I was like, we have to drive back. And I was really nervous that it was going to be like a 6-hour drive when it's supposed to be a 3-hour drive. But it actually ended up being fine. Like, it was whatever. It was the shitty drive that it is, but it wasn't any shittier than it normally is. So there was traffic at Round Rock, and I was being such a baby about it. I was like, why is there traffic right now? But you know, it's cool. And actually, that friend that went to Presque Isle, she just told me she booked an Airbnb in Spain because she thought it was so cool that I guess there's one in 2026, I guess. Or,
wow.
I know. And she was like, I booked an Airbnb in Spain if anybody wants to go. And I was like, well, I put it on my calendar. We'll just see if that actually happens.
You can book Airbnbs 2 years out?
I guess so. I did not know that that was a thing, but I guess
that's
so.
Some sort of faith.
I know. Well, and luckily she speaks fluent Spanish, so she can communicate with this lady, because I'm like, I'm kind of a little bit nervous. That she's like, yeah, I got you booked. You're on here. You're booked. You're good. So we'll see. Anyway, yay, space. And I don't know.
Space. Yeah. Nice work on the rerun last week, by the way. The best of from the vault.
The only thing that this actually ever shows me is how, like, the last one was Bridget's first day of kindergarten. And I'm like, it seems like it was yesterday. I mean, not to be one of those people like, oh, it goes by so fast. Because truly, sometimes in parenting, it does not go by that quickly. Like, you feel like you're in the, you know, drudgery of parenting sometimes. But I'm like, oh my God, I remember feeling bad for her because it was her first day of kindergarten. It was the first time she was going to have to take a bus somewhere. And they had this like huge event that they were letting the kids go out and, you know, and I'm like, it must be, you know, she's 5 years old. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so overwhelming. But she was like, I don't even remember it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so stressed that whole day. But, you know, she doesn't even remember it. So it was fun.
I don't remember if it was kindergarten or one of the other early years, but my first day going to school on the bus that year, as you know, being semi-feral, my neighbors kind of helped raise me. And that included the two old guys, one who lived next door and one across the street. And we would go fishing, the three of us, sometimes. And to rub it in that I had to go back to school and they didn't, they sat out next to my bus stop in their folding chairs with their fishing gear and their fishing stuff on until I got on the bus. And then they went fishing.
Well, that's kind of cute.
It is cute.
It was adorable. But of course, yeah. I was so pissed. 7-year-old me or whatever just wanted to go fishing, or 6-year-old me or whatever.
Hey,
it was.
I want to go fishing.
Yeah, I mean, fishing meant eat snacks and,
of course.
Oh, know, sure.
I don't think I ever caught anything, but
no,
have
no,
some male role models in your life.
Yeah, you know, maybe someday I'll find one that'll stick around.
Should we do something that we semi-discussed on the Jambo? Should we rank pretzels? Or should we at least discuss pretzels?
I think we should discuss pretzels.
How did this come up? I don't remember.
Salty versus sweet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, speaking of which, and you were saying you don't like to combine yours that much. What do you feel about, like, pretzel M&Ms?
Not into them.
Okay.
There was a period of time where I would eat pretzel M&Ms, but that was because I was dieting so hard and I felt like pretzel M&Ms are a little bit bigger and a little bit lighter. So you get a bigger volume of them in a serving.
Sure. I get that.
And so that was my primary reason, but I don't know. M&Ms with the mix-ins, so to speak, are almost universally underwhelming to me.
I agree.
I think
the only,
it's just a little dusty, sawdusty inside them.
Exactly. The only M&Ms that I truly love are regular, like just plain.
Yep.
And peanut butter. I don't even really love, I mean, I'll eat a peanut M&M. I'm not going to say no to it, but like, it's not my favorite at all.
I will say no to a peanut M&M.
Oh, really?
And that, I think, is the mixing of salty and sweet
that
I don't care for.
Yeah, yeah, I get
it. I feel like peanut M&Ms have a place in bar vending machines. I'm trying to think about the last time I like bought a peanut M&M that wasn't coming out of a machine that took a quarter.
I do remember at Halloween being like, you see the yellow, and I'm like, I just want regular
M&Ms. Yeah, I feel like whenever you get peanut M&M somewhere, they're stale.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's going to go bad. It's a waning material in there.
Yeah. Why would you take a peanut M&M when you can have peanut butter?
Oh, peanut butter is so good.
They're good. But I have noticed, I think, I don't know, my taste buds are getting a little more sensitive or something. I find that I stopped getting them because they have a little bit of a weird aftertaste to me now.
I don't remember the last time I had them, so maybe I need to try them out and see. Because, man, I used to take those down. Ooh, I love them.
Yes.
You know, as a podcast that's been dedicated to, at times, the 46 different flavors of Oreos out at any given time, it's interesting that we've never taken a deeper dive on the million different flavors of M&Ms that they have rolled out.
There are a lot of M&M. Like, it's sort of shocking because I'm like, I remember when peanut butter M&Ms were new and I'm like, okay, that's like where we stop. Like, I'm good. I'm good with this development. That's it.
I was a Reese's Pieces kid, so.
Just the other week at the grocery store, I walked past the candy aisle and I looked at the brownie M&Ms and I was like,
what?
Like, they've been around for a while and I've never tried them.
Right. I have never tried most of those things.
Yep. Other one that's going the same vein is Hershey's Kisses.
Yes.
There's so many.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I had a weak moment and I bought some, like, I think they called them hot chocolate Hershey's Kisses to try them, and they were just filled with marshmallow goo, and I was like, this is not what I wanted.
But back on pretzels, like,
the thing
about pretzels is like, are we talking, I mean, I guess we're talking about all of them, are we talking about like Snyder's, or, you know, like a crispy, or are we talking about like an Auntie Anne's, like,
I was not thinking of an Auntie Anne's.
I wasn't either. I mean, I will fucking destroy an Auntie Anne's pretzel.
Oh, absolutely.
Auntie Anne's are better than Wetzel's, I'm just saying.
When I, in my retail days, in the first store location that we had, we were across the hall and like two down from the Auntie Anne's. So... Mm-hmm. We were also directly above the Mrs. Fields cookies.
Holy
and there was
shit.
A shortcut in the back hallway to get down there really fast.
That's a dream. Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. I love to watch the Auntie Anne's people roll and fold and shape the pretzels. Mm-hmm. They're so good at it. It's like such a skill that I find so impressive.
Could you barter with them? Like, so when I worked at Spot Coffee, the bar next door, we would barter booze for coffee products. And it was a perfect union of stealing from our employers and sharing with one another.
Yeah.
Were you able to trade a pretzel for a figurine? How many pretzels does a water feature get?
Well, we had one that was $238, so that would be a lot of pretzels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's like $5 a pop probably for pretzels. So that's
Oh my God, do pretzels cost $5 these days?
They really do.
We need to talk $19.99 dollars.
Sure. So they're 75 cents. And they come with a coffee and a newspaper and a bus ticket.
Actually, while I'm on this semi-tangent, you know what other store was across the hall and one down the other way? Was the Mr. Bulky's bulk candy store.
Oh,
fuck me.
Oh my God.
Mr. Bulky was by Dick David Collins.
When I used to babysit a lot, my dad would drop us off at the mall, like, whatever, later that weekend. I would take my babysitting money. I was in seventh grade, so, like, I didn't have fiscal responsibility. I would take my babysitting money and go to the bulk candy store. And, like, I mean, the amount of money I would spend on whatever, it was, like, Skittles. Like, it wasn't really even anything, like, I'm getting something, like, gourmet or whatever. It was just the bulk ass. Yeah. You get the plastic bag and a scoop, and you're like, mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there must have been so many germs sitting around that place.
Kids reaching their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, okay, so, but like, as far as like.
Anyway, back to pretzels.
Back to pretzels.
Pretzels. We can talk about malls forever, but like, so I don't have as many. I like pretzels okay, but like sometimes they're a little bit too salty. I do like pretzel bread, and I know that's a totally different thing.
That's
like,
a different thing.
I know, it's a different thing.
I think for the sake of this conversation, the pretzel thins that come in a bag and are basically crackers, which we love and we eat regularly in this house.
Flat pretzels.
Flat pretzels.
Oh,
those are different because those are, the surface area is such that you can use them for a dip. Mm-hmm. And most other pretzels, I mean, you could, I guess, theoretically use a pretzel rod in like a sour cream dip or something, but.
Yeah.
I think, yes, I agree with you. I think. A pretzel has to have a rounded surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For our purposes.
Yep. Yep, I like that.
So that does include then pretzel nuggets.
Sure.
Are we including combos?
Oh. I don't like combos, so it doesn't matter to me.
No.
I always think the combo...
Combo fillings are gross.
They taste like barf. They always taste like barf to me. I don't like combos.
I mean, to be fair, barf tastes like whatever you just ate, so...
And it's usually like fake cheese or cheese product or whatever.
Here's a gross tangent, as long as we're on barf. I am an old man and threw up my back again last week in two different spots in two different days.
Good job.
But the first, it was last, I forget the day, but whatever. I was up all night in pain. Red letter night. So much pain that it caused me to throw up. And that's what just made me think of it because I don't, you know. It had been a minute since I had thrown up. Until...
Excuse me while I remove the ice pack from behind my back, as I, too, am having some back issues.
Oh, the ice pack, the heating pad,
The ibuprofen,
the Tylenol. Oh, and you know what the best part is? I have some Vicodin left from last time this happened and took some. And I think all it did was speed up the throwing up process.
Oh, cool.
Because great. They gave me anti-nausea tablets when they gave me the Vicodin. I tried to take one of the anti-nausea tablets once, and it made me throw up. So I was like, well, that's not going to work.
Good. Counterproductive.
And so I stopped taking those. I threw those out when I was done. I was like, oh, no, those are terrible. But of course, I kept the Vicodin because I'm not dumb. Yeah. It's got street value. The marijuana has been the one thing that has sort of helped. But and then like the Asper cream. I got the Asper cream with the roller thing to apply it. But the problem with that is I can't reach the spot.
Oh my gosh, how do you smell like a nursing home? Like what's going
Pretty
on?
Much, yeah. I smell like a stoner nursing home. Gummies. I don't fool around with them. I bought the wrong gummies. I went to a different dispensary just because I was in the neighborhood and had a little time and I knew that my reserves were low. And they didn't have any of the stuff I usually like. That's what I get for going to a different place.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, we have these gummies. They're great. They've got live resin and real plant matter in them. And they're great. You know, the problem is they taste like weed. They're terrible. I went to my regular place and got things that I like.
Situation.
So yeah, tastes like sour green apple. I could eat the whole bag.
That's the thing. The ones that I have, I'm like, that's tasty. It tastes like sour candy.
I don't know what I'm gonna, I mean, I'm sure I'll end up eating them slowly as I just plug my nose in. But I threw my back out because I dared to one time I think it was a sneeze, and then the second one I think I was putting on a belt.
I mean,
and I dared to put on a belt. Yeah.
How
at
dare
this
you?
Advanced age, I can't believe I thought I could do that. Sorry, so pretzels ranked. That was the
yes.
So we've determined we're not talking about, but what we are talking about is like pretzel sticks, pretzel rods, pretzel nuggets.
Yeah,
let's not pretzels. Forget actual pretzel shaped pretzels, which is a thing.
Which are the smaller ones, right? We're not talking about a giant.
No.
This is not Bavaria. I mean, if I could get a woman to bring it to me dressed in the. You know, the get up.
And the dirndl.
I'll eat whatever pretzel she wants me to eat.
Sam.
She's got the body. She could probably pull it off.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I think
the reason that we were really talking about this was Gregory did, in fact, this the second reference to Gregory and his pretzel rods that he may or may not wield like a cigar. And I posit that a pretzel rod is too big. Because then it's too hard and too tough and too dry. Whereas a little pretzel stick, you can just snap that sucker like a twig. That's great.
Can I just get a blanket? That's what she set out for this conversation so that I don't have to keep thinking it.
I mean,
granted.
Thank you.
Much like my manner of eating popcorn, I do also like to have a drink nearby.
You have to.
They're just so dry. You need to
moisten
it a little bit.
Yeah. Again, it's blanket covered. We're good.
I mean, need a little lubrication to deal with pretzels.
I'm going to take this away from that tone to say the last time I had a genuine pretzel rod that probably came out of some giant, you know, barrel of them was probably when I was a kid. And I just two distinct memories of it. One was, of course you pretend it's a cigar.
Of course you do.
You have to. That's the whole point. And then the other thing is, I distinctly remember music class getting a pretzel rod a couple of times to use as a baton, which is always great.
Foretelling.
It's you know, well, not just me. I think the whole class, like it was a lesson on rhythm or something, or you know, beats in a bar or something. Very, very, very basic conducting stuff. Mm-hmm. But that was like the equivalent of balancing a lifesaver on the end of my bow for the 2 months I played viola. And then just being like, fuck it, I'm going to eat the lifesaver and give up the viola. So
I want the lifesaver.
I can tell you exactly the last time that I had a pretzel rod. It was at our annual holiday party for the store a few years ago. And the dessert was homemade pretzel rods rolled in caramel and then chocolate and then with, I don't know, something.
Homemade, though, that's a different level of...
Right, right. And for all my disdain for the merging of salty and sweet, I ate the fuck out of those.
Of course. Of course. I do think pretzels hold up to a sweetness as well, though, because they're not, I mean, they're all salty, but they're not like so savory, if that makes any sense. Like, you can, because I was thinking about flips. I used to fuck with flips so much. Like, I loved getting a bag of flips and just going to town on them. I was like, yes, give this to me. The chocolate, not white chocolate. But yeah, that sounds good. But I can't think of other brands. Like, there's Snyder's. What else is there?
Well, Utz makes pretzels, which is,
Utz,
you know.
Yeah.
But regionally appropriate to out here, we get a lot of Utz. We get a lot of, I don't think Cape Cod makes pretzels. Snyder's, I think, is the OG, right? We are big fans of the bags of broken pretzel rod bits from Snyder's that are flavor blasted. So like the
oh, yeah, I like the buffalo.
The buffalo ones, right. Because they've solved the pretzel rod problem by smashing the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good.
I'm on Amazon just looking at pretzel rods now. I get a tub of a 27-ounce canister, they call it, of Snyder's pretzel rods. It's 1.69 pounds.
Whoa.
It's just, I don't know why they chose to do that. How many rods are in here? That's my question. Okay, I'm reading the nutrition facts a little. About 25 servings per container. A serving is three pretzel rods. 75.
How many rods can I get?
Well, that's a lifetime supply of rods. And 75. Now I just want a pretzel rod because we've been talking about it. But even on Amazon, if you search pretzel rod, three of the first five results are chocolate covered.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's really, they've figured out a way to trick people into eating them, which is to dip them in chocolate.
Yeah.
So. Now, pretzel sticks, you know, closer to digestible. I guess the number one time I eat pretzels, the most pretzels I eat are when they're in, like, a pub mix with other things.
Sure.
So I end up with pretzels by virtue of, yeah, I think there's a particular Utz pub mix I like that has pretzels in it.
Wow, they really do. I am looking at pretzel rods. They really do go crazy on the, like, dip-ins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, really, I just want to kind of like gnaw on it. I don't like, I want a salty thing.
You just want a prop.
Hillary's just beavering away on those rods.
Just an oral fixation for that salty rod.
Yep. It's why I like a Twizzlers sometimes. Like, it's not my favorite candy, but I like that you can like, you know, just sort of gnaw on it.
The lesson I've learned with the pub mix is, the pretzel will probably be the thing I eat last out of the little bit I pour out of the tub. But you have to have it. Because if you just buy a bag of honey roasted sesame chips, which is my favorite part of the mix, it's not good alone. Like, it has
it's
to be.
It's not special.
Yeah, it needs to be in contrast to the. You have to earn it.
Yep. Yep.
By eating your pretzel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm never buying a bag of Gardetto's rye chips.
Oh, no, yeah. No. No,
even though I love them dearly, they must be special. Mixed in with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point? Like, it just makes it kind of boring. And you're like, I don't want this to be boring. I want this. I want to love this forever. I get it.
Is this a metaphor for marriage?
I mean, it might be for Mormonism, maybe.
I did, like, I adore Dave, but I did, like, he was drinking coffee at some point on our trip, and I was like, I want to punch you in the face. Like, I don't stop drinking coffee in that way. He wasn't even drinking coffee in a particular manner that was, like, actually annoying. It was just everything was annoying me about it. So, yes.
Yeah, I'm don't struggling. Let that... I'm struggling to find the through line here as a regular coffee drinker, other than just assuming you want to punch me, which I get. We've known each other a long time. It wouldn't surprise me.
It's more just the familiarity breeds contempt, sure, kind of thing, where I was like, shut up. Stop drinking coffee.
It's really weird when he walked back into the room smoking a pretzel rod.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if we could rank them so much as we should just say, do you have a favorite pretzel shape? Like, if you're going to buy pretzels, do you have a favorite pretzel shape? Oh, I have one other exception, though. We like the little round waffle sandwiches, the pretzel sandwiches, the cheese.
Oh, yeah, like the little grids.
Yeah, and they're not always, they're intermittently available in our grocery stores for some reason. They're another, I think they're still Snyder, but, like, they don't always have them. So when they have them, I always grab a couple bags of them.
God, Snyder's really, like... They don't have a monopoly necessarily, but they really have embedded themselves in the...
They've cornered the market, sure.
Well, they've more round-edged the market.
Sure. So dumb. Okay. Unless we have more pretzel thoughts.
God, that's plenty.
I do love pretzel bread, though, and it's really, like, becoming a thing. I feel like it used to be less... less available, and now I feel like it's everywhere. But Anne, this is what I really want to know. You have an idea for a new pain scale. Bobby needs to hear about this, especially.
Yes, I know. This is very apropos for both me and Bobby and our bad backs. So I said I'm having a little flare up. Like, I don't know. I'm just scared. I'm scared that my disc is going to go out of place again. And I don't want that kind of pain and things. I don't know. Maybe it was because on Monday nights I always have my weightlifting class, and it's so hard to not overdo it.
I know, because you're kind of like, I got it, I can do this.
Like, I try so hard, and I can't tell until later. Like, it's not instant pain because it's more like overexertion over a period of time, and then in the evening or the next couple of days, it's like a little bit sore and achy and whatever. Anyway, so I was at the chiropractor yesterday, and she was asking about, like, my level of pain or what kind of pain. And you guys know me, like, I'm always trying to be really precise with what I say. I want to say exactly what I mean and exactly what I think, and it's really hard. And I find that impossible to do when we're talking about pain and pain scales.
Sort of
any more than, like,
bit.
Sharp or dull, but, like, it's not quite sharp and it's not quite dull, and it's different from the achy pain that I've had over here.
It hurty,
but it's not right. It's not the sharp, sharp, stabby pain. And I hate ranking my pain, because how do you know that my 7 is the same as your 7? Obviously, it's not going to be. The problem with a scale is that there's no common agreed upon measurement.
Yeah.
So I just find it to be sort of useless. But when I was talking to my chiropractor, I just said out of the blue, if my pain was a vegetable, it wouldn't be a potato, and it also wouldn't be an asparagus. And she seemed to understand what I meant. And I was thinking...
That makes
can
one of us,
we establish?
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to understand.
Can we establish a vegetable scale for pain? Because a potato, to me, that would be sort of a dull, diffuse, wide, lumpy pain. Whereas an asparagus would be more of a sharp spear of pain.
Okay. I'm getting.
So, and we all have vegetables in common. We all know what vegetables look like. So if I say my pain is a turnip, you know what a turnip looks like. I'm not sure that my pain is a turnip. I think my pain may be a broccoli head. But, you know, I have to think about this more. But I'm just wondering if I'm totally off base on this pain scale.
Well, I vaguely understand what you're... Well, I understand what you're saying, like, in general, as far as the like... Everybody's pain isn't... Because that's when I'm always like, I don't know. It hurts me really badly, but I don't know if it would hurt somebody else really badly. I don't know if I'm
being, right.
I don't. Am I being a baby about this? And, or am I being too? I think I have a high pain tolerance, so am I.
Some people are just whiners.
Yes. Oh, I mean, my kids have no pain tolerance. It's like embarrassing to me. They're like, oh, it hurts so badly. And then it's like, I kind of give it a little like light kiss and they're like, oh, it's fine now. And I'm like, you guys are such babies. Like, I can't handle this. I don't, it is so hard. I mean, I guess it is so, you know, personal, but there needs to be something as opposed to like a happy face or a frowny face, because that seems to be about the wide range of it.
Yeah, that's the nuance,
right,
Bobby? What was your pain level? I guess it's like barfing or not barfing.
It was a double rutabaga. Sorry, I'm trying to think of the funniest vegetable name.
See, I think I could do a lot of damage with a carrot.
Yeah, because it's pointy, right? Sharp-edged. I was sort of thinking about that. Like, I have disdain for radishes, but they're mostly harmless. We were doing those meal kits years and years and years ago, and we tried all the different brands, and they all were radish-heavy because somehow Big Radish had weaseled its way into the meal kits.
Is radish a cheap vegetable?
I think so, and I think it's just one of those things that makes you feel just nice. I mean, you could throw it in that meal kit box, and 6 weeks later, it's still just going to be a radish. So it's stable. And there's, oh, slice this thin and put it in some vinegar for a minute, and you've got pickled radish. I don't know what it was in the vegetable scale. It might have been like the part of the artichoke you can't eat. I felt like I was trying to give birth through my lower back.
Oh.
At one point, I just, God, what a night.
Pain is also,
where does it come out?
Pain is also hard because, like, I mean, obviously the most pain I've ever felt probably was when I was giving birth to Rory, but we're like, not when I was giving birth. That was actually not bad because I had an epidural, but when I was in labor, I could not tell you what it felt like now. Like, I can't, it's like,
nature has programmed you to not be able to do that. Right.
Except I was like, I'm not having another baby. You can't trick me into that again. But I can't remember it.
Picture you recording a video to yourself to watch every morning when you wake up, like, remember, don't be fooled.
The craziest thing about that was we were on, we were driving to the hospital and I was like in active labor. Like, I'm like screaming. I mean, it was out of a movie. Like, I'm screaming and Dave's driving like 3 miles an hour. I'm so irritated because he's driving so slow. I'm like, go faster. But then the moment the contraction subsided, I was fine. Like, I was like texting my friends like, LOL, this is crazy. I'm going to the hospital. I have a baby tonight. And then like 2 minutes later, I'd be screaming again. And then I couldn't walk. And then I was fine. Then I had the epidural and he like flew out and it was, you know, that's all she wrote. But
I know I've talked like, about this before, but I now have more questions about the stains in the backseat to your minivan.
No, I didn't. I had a Corolla at the time. It's okay. And I did not get birth in the car, though. Really, if we had been 10 minutes later, I would have given birth in the car. We made it right on time. I was okay. But yeah,
you slid into the delivery room and Rory slid out.
Basically, the lady was, I don't know if I've ever told the story before. I got there and I don't know why. Dave had parked in like the emergency sort of lot. And I was like, you need to go move your car because I don't want you to get towed. He was like, oh, okay. So he went and moved the car. I got into the gown. They're like, we're going to check you. And the lady said, oh, you're fully dilated. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, no, you are. You're giving birth like right now. And I was like, I can't. This is not my birth plan. I need
Rory's
an epidural.
Just waving.
I'm like, I need an epidural. I can't do this. Luckily, for whatever reason, it was not crazy busy that like there weren't that many people there. So I remember this nurse, Mary, who I never saw again, but I remember her name was Mary, came to me and she said, if you can sit still, we can give you an epidural. So when people say, oh, I was already 10 centimeters dilated, I couldn't get an epidural, that's not true. You actually can. It's just usually that the anesthesiologist is like nowhere to be found. So they're like, no, we just got to do this. He apparently was right around the corner. So he came through and I have never been so still in my entire life. I was like, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And
he
I
took
got
a break
it,
from
and...
counting his money.
No, exactly. And he, Mary held my hand and looked me in the eyes. And then Dave came running in. They were like, you better get in there because she's about to have this baby. Now it slowed. I think the reason why they did it is because I was freaking. It came so quickly that my heart was beating so fast. I they didn't tell me this. This is just my like what I think. And I feel like they were probably like, she's going to have a heart attack if we don't give her some pain, like something to dull this pain, because it was really intense. Anyway, I don't remember it though. Like I vaguely remember it kind of feeling like your bottom half and your top half are being like ripped apart from each other. Oof. But I also can't really like, I can't go there again. You know, I don't know what it's like. And kind of like, I can picture what back pain feels like, because I feel like I, you know, like every person our age has like a modicum of back pain at any given time. But there is that severe back pain where you're like, I don't even want to move. Like, I don't even, like, if I move, am I going to fall apart? Is that, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, there does need to be a new pain scale, a vegetable scale. Yeah. It's like,
like the agony.
I have a Rory childbirth question. So it happened that quickly. Did Dave even have a chance to hand out pretzel rods to all the other dads?
No,
in the waiting room?
He didn't. What if he ran to the store and he was like, I'm like, where were you? And he was like, I was getting pretzel rods.
I mean, obviously I have not given birth, none that I know of. That would be a dark chapter in my life.
Boy.
But I would say the closest was when I had the IUD put in.
Oh, yeah.
Which I always get confused between IUD and IED, which are
different things.
And I just remember she said, okay, there's going to be one small cramp and then there's going to be a bigger cramp. And the small cramp came and I was like, oh my God. And the big cramp came and I was like, oh my God. Well, and then it like cramped and cramped and cramped. And the nurse was reminding me to breathe as, you know, she's fishing around in there and doing whatever. Like, I can't imagine what giving birth would be like.
You know what, though? This is like, big medicines like war against women. Not really, but we just like don't really care about women that much. One of my best friends, she was telling me how she got an IUD. She got an IUD and she's had three kids. No C-section. She had them vaginally. And she was like, this was just as painful as, it wasn't as sustained, you know, it wasn't as like long
of
a process.
Last for hours.
But she was like, it was so fucking painful. And I should have asked for something because it was so painful. And she was like, I thought I was going to pass out on the table. Like it was so bad. And then she was like, now that it's done, it's like fine. But, the time it was, really bad.
I was really taken aback because I wasn't expecting that from the way that they explained it.
Yeah.
And my gynecologist is a woman and she's great and I love her. And it's just the way that they're trained.
Yeah. Like it's just
like,
cramp.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, that's just kind of how, they're taught to treat it. I know. I've known several people to get them and all of them have said it's painful. And I feel like doctors are always like, well, it's usually not that painful. And I'm like, but anecdotally, every person I've ever heard from says, it's pretty painful. Bobby, how was it when you got it?
No comment. I was just distracted over here thinking about how the movie The Hurt Locker just has completely changed for me now.
IUI, IUD. Oh, well, yeah, we need to think about that.
Anyway, maybe the vegetable pain scale is not the final answer.
No, but I do think that something needs to...
Right. Yeah. I think we have to think outside the box on this one, because inside the box is not working for me. It just doesn't have the kind of options that I need to be able to talk about what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
When I'm feeling owie.
Yes. This fucking hurts.
Because when you say your pain's a 7, but you're referencing the Richter scale, so like it should really...
Exactly!
All right, moving from pain to, I don't know what the connector is there, but I was just going to talk about our little trip to Tucson. which Bobby, you recently went to.
I've been a couple of times. I really liked Tucson.
I liked it a lot. Well, first of all, this was like one of the reasons why we went up to Dallas, minus the fact that my parents could take care of my kids. Thank you, Mom and Dad and Bruce. Is that there's I don't want to live in Dallas.
I'm confused. Were you thanking Bruce?
Yeah. for taking care of the kids.
I mean, he probably did help a little bit. My parents took care of the kids and Bruce. But I don't want to move to Dallas. But one of the reasons that it's nice to be in Dallas is that you can fly anywhere from Dallas, like anywhere. You can go anywhere. There's just a huge airport. It's like Atlanta. You know, you can just kind of go, and there's lots of flights. Whereas in Austin, you usually have to connect. Flights are more expensive. La la la. And there's not a direct flight to Tucson from Austin, but there are a couple from Dallas. But what was nice is for the first time, like not ever, but for the first time in a long time, it was actually cheaper to go to Tucson than it was to Phoenix, because the Final Four was in Phoenix that weekend. Sure. So on our flight, there were like tons of NC State people. I mean, just like the run the gamut at Purdue, that were flying from Dallas to Tucson, and they had to do that drive. But, the Tucson airport was great because it is a dink. I mean, it is like a nothing little airport, mm-hmm. but it was great because there was like, no. Bobby, did you fly to Phoenix or did you fly to Tucson?
No, to Tucson. And it's
great.
Awesome going in and out of there. It's super easy. Both times I ended up just gassing up at the same gas station in the neighborhood next door.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the rental car was like super easy. You just kind of like walk out and there it is. And they're like, your car's over there. Anyway, we went for my friend Emily's wedding. What was nice, it wasn't actually, she'd already gotten married. This was just like, they were just having the party after the wedding was just family. But it was really, really fun. The party was on Friday night. So we got there. Dave and I were starving. So we went to this Mexican restaurant and I was looking, I'm like, what, you know, I love Mexican food. And I'm like, well, this will be a little bit different. But we went to this place called El Charro, which is like famous. I mean, it's not like, oh, I found this little hole in the wall. But it was so good that we went to it twice.
Wow.
I know. It was the fajitas, the chicken fajitas. Oh, so good.
We also went to El Charro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like.
In the Oro Valley.
Yeah, that's where we were staying. That's no,
in
like
the,
that. We
went to, in the strip mall of a bunch of other random shit. Yep, it was
great. We went to the one in Oro Valley, and then we also went to the one downtown on the way out of the town. the original one. It was really cute. It was like a little bit more like that, like less, you know, strip mall, more like ye old Mexican restaurant. But Bobby was very, so the party was on Friday. That was really fun. The DJ was great. And then at some point after I'd had a couple drinks, the DJ did play the Hey Dude theme song. And I think I was sitting down at this point and I was like, I like bolted out of my seat. I was like, I got to get in on this. Let me tell you, this wedding, I didn't know that many people. I just like, I love my friend. We worked together for years and I was like, this will be so fun. I mean, I made lots of friends and we were all like belting out the Hey Dude theme song. It was fantastic. And then Bobby had told me, he was like, oh, up the street from you basically is this state park that we did a hike in. So I dragged my minorly hungover ass up on Saturday morning and I went to do a little, I was like, oh, I hiked. And all the people at the pool that day were like, whoa, you hiked? And I was like, when I say hike, I mean like I ambled. Like it wasn't like there was one part that was like kind of uphill, but mostly it was just like, look at the nature.
It's not like you have the pack and the hat and the hiking poles.
No, and I was reading the like thing. It was like, make sure you have water, make sure you have all this stuff. And I was like, I have my phone. Like, I don't have anything with me. I'm wearing tennis shoes. But I did see people horseback riding there. But I really have not spent any time in Arizona minus driving through on my way to California and on my way back from California. And the landscape is so beautiful. I mean, that sounds so stupid, but it's like, it is really spectacular. And then we'd gone to the pool on Saturday, and then Sunday was just sort of like, I mean, we didn't leave until 3, but the one thing I wanted to do, because a lot of people had told me, was go to Saguaro National Park. And I was like, okay, well, so there's an east and a west. Well, the father-in-law who's from Tucson was like, you should go to the west one. Go to the west one. I was like, okay, that doesn't really mean that much to me, but we'll go to the west one. So we did it, and we did actually hike around a little bit. We did a nice drive, and then Dave and I walked. But I was like, I can see how people get murdered out here because it's like there's nothing out there. It is just cacti. I mean, there's just these huge saguaros and it's gorgeous, but it is sort of creepily desolate and kind of looks like Mars. I mean, not that's what Mars looks like, but it just looks like a different planet. But it was really cool. I liked it a lot. Now, my mom said that they went there last year and they stayed actually in the same hotel, a Hilton, Bobby. I want to get this Hilton. It was a nice enough hotel. They need to spend about $3 million kind of like upgrading it. You know, when you go to those hotels where you're like, this could be so nice. And it's just like, it's just a little dingy. It just needs a little oomph. Yep. But my mom said when they went last year, I think they must have gone in June or July. And she was like, it was so fucking hot. We were lucky when we were there. It was actually borderline chilly. Now, it was sunny the whole time, but it was like in the 60s and 70s. So it was lovely because it's like dry. There's, you know, there's no humidity. The temperature was really nice. When you're in the sun, you actually are kind of warm. I mean, it's, but as soon as the sun goes down, it's pretty chilly. But I really liked it. And somebody was saying, I think because it is a little bit more difficult to fly into Tucson, it's not like this hidden gem. It's not like people have never heard of Tucson. There's a major university that's there. But they were like, it just the population hasn't exploded like it has in Phoenix. Right. I don't know. It makes it a nice little town. I really enjoyed it. It's huge, though. Kind of like Jacksonville, like where it's actually not that big of a town, but the land area is so big. Like, we weren't going to rent a car, but I looked at driving from the airport to the hotel and I was like, that's 40 minutes to get there. And that's no traffic 40 minutes. So, anyway, I really liked it. I had a good time. And hey, dude, it's a little wild, a little strange.
Yeah, I remember in the aforementioned visits to see grandparents on spring break.
Woo! Right. Woo!
I remember going to the Sonora Desert Museum.
Oh, yeah.
With my grandmother, which is what you do when your grandma's like 90.
Yes.
And it's great.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool. It's so pretty.
It is. And it's just a part of the world that I don't like engage with that much. So just to see like a different landscape, I don't know. It's really cool. And there's so much history there, you know. So much Native American history that we don't really like. It's just really, I think it's really, really interesting. And there are some, I went to Starbucks on Saturday after I went on my little hike, and there are some wacky ass people hanging at that Starbucks. Like, I mean, they're all old. They're all riding bikes with decoration. They're just weird. Like, it's just a weird culture. But I liked it. I liked it more than I thought I would.
I put a picture in Slack of that park that you went for your little hike in.
Mm-hmm.
When we decided to turn around, it's because we ran into some cattle.
That cow is giving you the stink eye.
That cattle looks enough. Like that looks like Bruce, sort of.
And then I'm looking at my old pictures from the Sonora Desert Museum now, and I'll send you a picture of the best scenery. I saw that. It was beautiful. Yeah, I fully endorse that too. It's a great trip.
Yeah.
And you didn't go to the air museum, right? Because you didn't want to walk around the desert.
No, I did take a picture because I was like, oh, there it is.
Bobby.
Let me see.
This was 2021, so people were still wearing masks. So, you know, it was Arizona, so most people weren't. But a few...
I kind of want to get that to one of my friends. She, like, loves succulents. My God.
For the audience who doesn't have access to our Slack feed, I took a picture of this guy in 2021 at the Sonora Museum. He's wearing what look like swim trunk shorts and a backwards ball cap and a mask that's just under his nose and a t-shirt that says, what the fuckulent, with a picture of succulents on it.
Can I blur his face and use this as the show pick, please?
I don't think you have to blur his face. He wore it in public.
He's got a mask. His face is already covered.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, go Arizona. I mean, I don't endorse. I say go Arizona. The moment I left, they're like, "Remember this law from like 150 years ago,
before we were a state." Yeah. Now, when you cross the border, they impregnate you, and you can't do anything about it.
I remember. It was back in the era of the migrant buses. Remember the migrant buses in Arizona and all that stuff, whatever, and the conservatives were getting really pissed off about migrants being bused everywhere, whatever. And I think it was like on a
Pod Save America something or other. I don't know. And there was a comment from somebody that just said, Arizona, it's a dry hate. And I thought, that is the best comment I've ever seen.
Yep. Can we steal that for the show title?
Absolutely.
Oh, those assholes.
Oh, seriously. God.
A beautiful natural wonder, and they're just ruining it.
Yep.
Kate Bergstrom, vote while you can, because something tells me that's coming next.
Yeah, seriously.
She's a woman and she's not a landowner, so she's
why should women be allowed to vote? We're all like emotional with our periods and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And your IDs. Trust us.
Yeah. All right. Finally, Bobby, talk to us.
Well, just today, and as long as I'm playing through my photo roll here, today I encountered two different cars covered in stickers that pissed me off. I told you guys about the first one earlier. Yes. So I was in a parking lot going to the post office like I do. It's actually my second post office visit today, two different post offices.
Jesus Christ.
We had to mail our
checks. You have to go to different post offices like it's pain med shop.
I forgot that I had something to mail for personal mail at the first moment I was doing my business mailing. So the first one is I'm parked next to this sort of beat up Volvo SUV. Weird that it's a Volvo too, and that it's a joke, like a Republican. Anyway, there's a Let's Go Brandon sticker, and then next to it in lettering that appears to be applied directly to the vehicle. It's not like a sticker. Like it's like somebody wanted to put this message on their car and spelled it out. And the message says, if my flag offends you, call 1-800-LEAVE-THE-USA.
So dumb.
And I'm like, right. First of all, it's not the flag that offends me. It's the general aura of you existing. And also, you know, to note, this car also has a sticker that says, abuse an animal, go to jail. I agree with that. Absolutely.
It's giving mixed messages there.
Right. And so, and that's a theme with the other car, too. So I saw this and I took a picture of it on my way into the post office. And then the way back out, I thought to myself, I wonder what happens if I call 1-800-LEAVE-THE-USA. Is it a travel agent? So I dial 1-800-LEAVE-THE-USA. Of course, it's far too many digits, but I just type them all in, and then I hit dial. There's nothing at first after a couple of rings. Then there's a robot voice asking if I'm age 50 or over.
I mean, emotionally.
Well, yes, emotionally. But to be honest, I chose the prompt for no. And then after a pause, it said, if you have the red, white, and blue Medicare card, you're missing out on advanced benefits or something. They're trying to scam old people into buying fake Medicare Advantage plans.
Oh, my God.
This phone number is to scam old people, which actually is on brand for the, that party of politics, right? Yep. So, but I was just like, of all the things you would put on your phones, to take advantage of people.
Yeah, well.
So you didn't think through your 1-800-LEAVE-THE-USA. I might be wrong, though, because I couldn't figure out how to dial the periods. Christy made a really good point about how that's difficult. All right. And then the other car, I was stuck in traffic behind a Kia Sorento. No, not like a Ford F-150, not a big Chevy. A Kia Sorento. And it had the arrangement of eight different things if you count the driver flicking a cigarette out of the driver's side window that pissed me off. Left side of the back window, Let's Go Brandon sticker, followed by a heart with a paw print, followed by a don't tread on me. God. The other side is an infinity symbol with the word love and a paw print. Under that is an American flag section with the words, thank God I'm a country girl. Now, again, this is a Kia Sorento. And then below that, a pair of lips in pink and black camo pattern.
Ooh.
And then to top it all off, a bedazzled license plate frame.
Of course. Well, that is to be expected.
But I always think
that the pink and black that's really missing the point. Where are you going to go that's going to be effective camouflage?
Right.
I can see you.
guess, to be fair, the Kia Sorento's advertising pictures do show it all on a mountain highway.
Yeah,
but they all show them on a mountain highway.
That Kia Sorento's never seen anything but pavement. Thank God you're a country girl.
You know, it was really shocking to me when Dave and I started dating because, you know, I grew up in Texas. Like, I mean, obviously it was the 90s. Country music was really popular, but like, I didn't know anything beyond Garth Brooks or whatever. Like, I didn't know like histories.
Sure.
You know, beyond like Dolly Parton or whatever. Dave knew so much about country. A lot of his friends are really into country. Like,
yeah.
Really into country. I was like, really?
It's very popular up here.
It's really popular. Yeah.
Anyway. I guess it's escapism.
I guess.
Could be worse. I mean, there's a lot of white people in New England who listened to a lot of rap when we were kids, too. And so, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but just like, you know, I grew up with kids, you know, white kids wearing do-rags. And I was just like, you're not Eminem. It's not going to work.
I don't know. The one thing that I feel about country, sort of modern country, is that I don't get a chance to like it because it is specifically excluding me. Like, yeah. I'm the enemy all those songs about being a good old country boy and country girl and
try that in a small town kind of.
Exactly. Shit. Like, yeah. I am explicitly not welcome in that genre.
Yeah.
Genre. Like, kudos to Beyonce for putting her foot into that.
Yeah.
Particular swamp.
I mean,
and reclaiming country and being like, I like country. Sure. I'm going to make a country album.
It's almost like a lot of the musical heritage of the South was from poor black people.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the best part about Beyonce doing country music was exposing that anyone could do country music like you. Yeah. And we could put you in a booth with a producer and you could cut a country album.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And it would sound as good as anyone's country album.
I don't know.
There are some very talented singer-songwriters who sing country music or country western music or whatever, but like,
there's definitely more of a vocal type for country. Like I appreciate a male country vocalist because they've got deeper voices, and I'm a sucker for a low voice.
Yes.
And like in pop and R&B and stuff, it's all these reedy nasally tenors. Seems to be what's really popular, the Justin Timberlake of it all, although the kids today don't know who Justin Timberlake is, but like in country they've got some resonance
going
on in the there. Kids it's are just not listening to Merle Haggard though either, like
yeah, but all like the newer country guys have like some pipes.
There's so many, I feel like I've said this before, but there's so many like Zachs and Lukes and Brians in country that I'm always like, which one is it? I think I like Zach Bryan, I think is the one that I like.
It's just a random country singer name generator.
Right. Yes. No, it totally is. But he had the duet with Kacey Musgraves, which I'm always a sucker for her. But it's good, and he has like a deeper kind of like, you know, he goes in the lower register. Do you like how I'm describing that? I'm really good at describing music. He goes,
It goes, mer. Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Okay, according to countrystarname.com, you put in your name and your gender and submit it, and you get your country star name. Bobby Pape, your country star name is Moonshine Bull.
Well, is it like the depression? Random.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's try. Anne Lundholm is Taylor Moselle.
I don't hate it.
No, Taylor Moselle is good. It's like Moselle.
I want to put in Hillary Livingston Butler because I'm going to give you more to work with here.
Let's see. Go.
Hillary Livingston Butler. Dana Jean Lane.
Oh, I like Dana Jean.
Dana Jean, I can see that. I can definitely see a Where Are They Now Dana Jean edition. And it's definitely rehab.
Yeah, or I'm like singing karaoke in some shitty suburban bar like outside of Dallas. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Countrystarname.com, free ad.
Well, that is, I mean, I've definitely softened on country a little bit. I used to be very much like, I was such a teen, like, I don't like country. You know, it was just, I didn't. Now I go back and listen to some of the stuff from the 90s and I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. I mean, it's cheesy. It's just like pop music, mm-hmm. but, and there are some talented people.
Country in the 90s was very pop.
Yeah.
Very faithful Shania Twain kind of stuff.
This Kiss.
I would consider that very much a hybrid rather than a true country, although I don't know. Nothing wrong with it, just not quite the traditional country.
Yeah. This website has some related and properties. So your Hillary, your rap name is Baby Hot with two T's.
Hey, I like it.
She's ready to be on Flavor of Love.
I'm Baby Hot.
One of the other podcasts I listen to regularly, besides ours, of course, the Effectively Wild, the baseball analytics podcast, I am a Patreon supporter of theirs, and so I get access to their monthly Patreon episode, which basically is every episode we do, because they just bullshit for once a month as their Patreon episode. And one of the hosts, who lives outside of Phoenix, actually, just recently moved there a couple years ago, confessed that she has been watching Farmer Wants a Wife.
Oof,
and apparently really likes it.
I have never watched a minute of Farmer Wants a Wife, so like anything I say is based purely on speculation. But I just feel like there may be some sort of gender roles.
Well, I think I don't think
I might feel are a little outdated.
I think that's the point. Like, I think they're leaning into it. I don't think it's the subtext. I think it's just the text.
Right, and if all those women are there because they specifically agree with those gender roles and want that to be a part of their life, like, good on them.
Yeah.
Again, it's this sort of supposition that that's the way that all women should behave.
Yeah.
It's, oof.
Yeah, it's a little, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the big question. What's the question of the week? What should it be? What's your favorite?
Is it the pretzel shape?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, what's your favorite pretzel? That's got to be it. I mean, we'll keep it on the snack theme because we do love a snack question. And there's room for controversy here. And maybe somebody will surprise us with something we didn't think of.
Yeah. Rock our worlds. Rock our pretzel worlds.
Goldfish pretzels.
Oh, yeah. My kids don't like those. They want just like the plain.
I don't know that I've had one. I have a hot take toward the end of the show here, which is that goldfish crackers are overrated.
Like goldfish in general?
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. I'd much rather have a Cheez-It than a goldfish cracker.
I feel but that's because you're not four.
Yeah. Cheez-Its are sometimes overpowering for four-year-olds.
I mean, I guess this gets into my impoverished childhood, but like, they were not a regular part of my growing up. We would occasionally get the whales.
Oh, no, not us either. Are you kidding? My mom would never buy
because
junk food.
Whales were available at Dollar Tree, I think, or whatever the dollar store was in my childhood home, which are basically the same thing, but they're whale-shaped.
Sure.
And I was told
which
that the
is
whales,
very different
told goldfish. That the whales were superior, which they may or may not be, but of course, what you have is superior to what you don't have.
Sure.
But I just, like, I'll eat goldfish crackers if we have them, if somebody throws me a pack of them or whatever, but, like, they're not quite salty enough. They're not quite cheesy enough compared to a Cheez-It.
Huh. Yeah.
I mean, again, I like to pair them with either orange juice or a Diet Coke. So they're, whereas like, I get what you're saying. Like, the flavor profile isn't as strong. So it's like, it's fine.
Well, that's why you have to get flavor blasted goldfish.
Yes.
Right.
Right. I guess that's true too.
Yes.
Orange juice flavor and blast. Cheese, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's when you're eating on color theme.
You sure you're not pregnant?
I promise I'm not pregnant. And I'm like, that sounds good. I already ate dinner, but, you know. We'll see. Okay, yes. Question of the week. What's your preferred pretzel shape? I can't wait to hear. All right, Tichy recommends. I finally finished this book. It took me a long time. It's not quite as long as, like, Barbara Streisand's memoir, but this book was long as hell, but it was very enjoyable to me because I'm a dad. It's called G-Man, J. Edgar Hoover and the Making of the American Century. It was really good. And I had like a minorly stoned revelation last night. It's not like something I didn't know, but it was like, wow, that is crazy. So I'm like towards the end of the book and it's talking about you know, obviously John Kennedy was killed in 63, and then it kind of then is going on with that, and then they're talking about his relationship with MLK, which, you know, was not great, and his relationship with Bobby Kennedy, which was not great. And I'm like, you know, our times now are obviously like crazy. You know, there was the whole COVID thing, and there's fucking Trump, and just it's like the world is sort of insane. I was just like, imagine living through that time, though, where like everybody in Malcolm X, it's like everybody is just getting gunned down all the time. And you're kind of like, I don't know why, just maybe because I was a little stoned, that it just was like, wow, what a crazy time to live through. Like, I feel like it's almost underplayed, like what a wild time it was. Anyway, the book, I would say, you know, the 60s is probably takes up about 30% of it. But a lot of the other stuff was interesting because I just think of him as sort of this, like, I don't know, almost like a bad man, which he was. But he also,
you know, like, a little internalized homophobia.
Well, but and it's what's so crazy about it. And it really is good. I enjoyed it a lot. What's so crazy is like how everybody just accepted it. Like, Dave was like, we're listening to it in the car driving to Dallas. And he's like, but he's gay. Like, and then I'm like, nobody talked about it. Everybody just sort of accepted it. But they never talked about it. Like, never talked about it. And he did go after gay people. But also sometimes he would be like, oh, like, let's not go after that part of his personality. Now, if MLK was having an affair, he was going to go, you know, oh, he's immoral, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it was just really, it was fascinating. And it was just a really interesting story. And listening, you know, about like the 30s crime wave and all that. He was just in for so long. And he just really made this whole institution. It was just in his vision. He was kind of the one that was there. And he was there from, God, like the late teens up until when he died, which is 1972. And Nixon was going to let him go. He was going to be like, you have to retire. You were past the maximum age of retirement. And then luckily he died, so he didn't have to fire him. But it was crazy because everybody loved him until kind of the end. Like at the end, they were like, wait a second, like you've been up to some kind of no good stuff. But anyway, it was very interesting. And I think it won the Pulitzer a couple years ago. So yeah, G-Man, J. Edgar Hoover. If you want a long, 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 long book, it's a good one. Because at some point you're like, oh my God, there's 4 hours left. And she's like, next chapter, 1961 to 1962. And you're like, oh my God, he died in 1972. How much longer do we have? yeah, I liked it.
All right then. Well, I'm probably not going to read it.
I know, but I'll do a little book report on it. But it was good. It was good.
I'm not a nonfiction girl, so.
Yes.
You know.
Well, and now Rory's like, can we watch that movie? And I'm like, we're not watching J. Edgar. I'm not watching it. But I did quiz him. I said, do you know who directed it? He was like, Clint Eastwood. I was like, this kid, I don't know where you came from, but.
Are you kidding? After you get done describing how you just read G-Man, J. Edgar Hoover, and the making of the American Century, you wonder where Rory gets his enthusiasm for history and movies.
Has he seen All the President's Men yet?
No, but you know what I was thinking? I was thinking I might show him that. Because I would be naturally sort of nervous. Like, it's, you know, it's 70s paced. It's a 70s paced movie. So
it's,
I'm like,
it's a confusing movie.
It's extremely confusing. But
he watched The Godfather. I mean, so I was like, he's getting a little entree into slower paced movies, and I will answer questions about it because he doesn't know as much about it. Oh, Mark Friend was a part of the end of G-Man because he was pissed that he wasn't the next head of the FBI. Anyway,
all right, well, with that, God, it's a good thing Meredith couldn't be on the show tonight. how long would it be Jesus. It is time to get involved with the show at thisshowhaseverything.com or at our Facebook group where you can answer your question of the week. Let's get a pretzel-shaped debate going on, guys. Yes. A nice, healthy pretzel-shaped debate. Or you can email us your thoughts at tishyshow@gmail.com or send us a voice memo with those pretzel thoughts. Just record it on your phone and email it to the email and we'll play it on the show. Or we won't play it on the show if you don't want us to.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat. The AOL keyword has always been and always will be Tishy.
thanks for joining us. And that was everything in our small talk spectacular this week.
Spectacular.
Time to go ask Sam if she'll put Asper cream on my back.
I can't reach
it. You were saying you couldn't reach it. And I was like, isn't that why you get married?
I know. Okay.
Rotgun whiskey's gonna ease my mind. Beach town dress on the drying line. Do I remind you of your daddy in his 88 Ford? Labrador hanging out the passenger door. The sand from your hair is blowing in my eyes. Blame it on the beach, grown men don't cry. Do you remember that beat down basement couch? I'd sing you my love songs and you'd tell me about how your mama ran off and pawned her ring. I remember everything. Cold shoulder at closing time, you begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man's mouth when his mind's broke. Pictures in passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do remember every moment on the nights.
Everything to ease your mind. But where the hell are you gonna ease mine? You're like concrete feet in the summer heat. It burns like hell when two souls meet. No, you'll never be the man that you always swore. But I'll remember you. Shoulder closing time, you were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man's mouth when his mind's broke. Pictures in passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do remember every moment on the nights with you.
Cold shoulder closing time, you were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man's mouth when his mind's broke. Pictures in passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do remember every moment on the nights with you. Rot gut whiskey's gonna ease my mind. Beach towel dress on the drying line. Do I remind you of your daddy in my 88 Ford? Labrador hanging out the passenger door.